Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I feel thoroughly depressed now.
Sorry,
I like this is kind of like my therapy session. But it's actually made me feel 10 times worse. I've addressed the problem, but it's still here.
All we want is a team to support and be proud of. That's it.
Yeah.
That's generally all we want.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special Friday People's Poll podcast. And ahead of double game week 32, or at least it is for Tottenham Hotspur, we are going to be focusing on my club today. And most of you will have heard my opinions already on the likes of Mourinho and Levy and Spurs assets. So I thought I'd bring our Tottenham correspondent in on the conversation, see if he's got any different opinions to myself. He's probably going to say no, but let's see. Anyway,
probably not.
Let me introduce you to Ricky Saunders at Ricky Saunders 77 on Twitter. How are you, Ricky?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you very much, James. I don't think my opinion is going to differ too much from you. Certainly not Mourinho anyway, but we'll see how we get on.
We'll talk about him. Before we do, most of you might have seen this from our timeline. We're actually recording this just after 5 o'clock on Thursday evening, UK time. I mean, slightly thrown somewhat by just finding out in the last half hour that I've got a ticket for the Carabao Cup final, which has thrown me emotionally because I've been in such a bad mood, but I've got something to look forward to. Although, as I've been already saying to people, until I get there and they ruin it for me, most likely. But I realise how lucky I am to be getting a ticket. It's going to be a very strange feeling after over a year of not going to football to go back and go back straight to a cup final as well is going to be very weird. Anyway, where should we start, Ricky? What's on your mind? When I mentioned Tottenham at the moment, what's on your mind first and foremost?
I'll be honest with you, James. I know I watched the game, obviously I know you did as well, on Sunday. And it was not being surprised by what happened. It was probably not being hurt by what happened, and that to not be hurt by losing a game, it's so alien. But I've got no emotion for it anymore. You know, the man is destroying the emotion of being a Tottenham fan, because I can tell you what's going to happen from one game to the next. We're going to start bright, we're going to play well, we're going to go ahead, we're going to get to half time, and then we're just going to sit back and let them pull our pants down. And it's the same every game, and it's soul destroying. I watch a game and I feel hollow afterwards.
Yeah, that I get, because I'm trying to look at it from the outside perspective, which is really difficult to do as a fan, and looking at it and going, right, you're seventh in the league, you've got a cup final next week. I can see a lot of people of, say, mid-table clubs or lower leagues thinking, well, you're ungrateful bastards. What is there to be unhappy about? And I think that's it. It's nailing it on the head. It's almost like, and a few people said this to me, particularly this week, like Tottenham fans don't even seem to care anymore. It's just an acceptance of it doesn't even matter. And I've said that on on some of our pods this week that I've done with Serge. It's like, we win the final. Yeah, amazing. Then what? So what? So yeah, it stops people saying you've gone this amount of years without a trophy, but we know that nothing changed. It's just one game. We know it will go back to the same shit the following week, right?
It will, exactly that. It's going to be exactly the same. And I wouldn't say, well, I don't not care. That's certainly not a thing. But I think what I've accepted now is that what we're going through, and yeah, all right, it's easy to, you know, seventh of the league, we've got a cup final, but people don't watch the shit that I'm watching. You know, it's not about where we are in the league. It's about the shit I'm having to watch every single week. And you know what? Thank God for Dynamo, because I ain't got to watch it twice a fucking week now. You know what I mean? I've only got to watch this once a week. But it's not even that, mate. It's now, I do care, but it's, do you know what? Let it be what it is, because it can't go on like this for much longer. Sooner or later, Levy's going to have to break. He's going to have to get rid of the man. And then we'll have that thing that we dread most of all, which is hope. And it's the hope that kills you. You know this. And a new man will come in, whoever it's going to be, and we'll hope things will get better with Tottenham, so they probably won't, or at least they will do for a few months. But it's just the same. Yeah, we win the final, we lose the final, whatever happens. But what happens the week after? The same thing will happen. We'll go into a game and it's just the same process on repeat. Rinse, cycle, repeat. Game in, game out.
So why is it happening? Because I can see that you're as keen to use Mourinho's name as I am. But why is it happening? Why is it that Tottenham have got the second best record in first halves this season, basically, and yet the worst record in the league? I mean, you give them 18 points back to us that we've lost in second halves of games this season, 11 of which have been in the last 10 minutes of games, then we'd be very comfortably in the top four position. So is there an easy fix to this?
Well, if you ask Mourinho, which he was asked, his press conference, he knows what the problem is.
But he won't tell anyone.
He won't tell anybody. I've quoted him. I've got it written down here.
Please don't.
I'm not ready to... So he was asked, why do we keep dropping points? Right? He responded, I'm not ready to discuss this with you. It has been to do with some of our qualities as a team, but I'm not ready to discuss this with you. He was then asked, when will you be ready? And his response, maybe never. He doesn't...
This is the point. I think it's gone for us. It's gone from the stage where a couple of months ago you go, what is he saying that for? To actually, we're all just laughing at the things he says now. I've said this now. There's the Arsenal game, the West Ham game before that, the Zagreb game. And who else did we not do very well against before Manchester United? Where it's like he's writing a resignation speech after the game. Newcastle. It's like what he's saying is he can't improve the team and the players.
Yeah.
He's almost making, and that way he says he knows the problem. Maybe he does know the problem, but so when are you going to fix it, mate?
Well, I tweeted something, and it's probably a couple of months ago, and I can't remember after which game it was, but he came out with his normal nonsense after a game. And first of all, let me just say, I've always, in the past, I hated Mourinho when he was at Chelsea and whatever else, but I always really liked the way that he would take away the focus on the team and bring it on to himself while saying something stupid in a press conference. And I thought it was quite noble, in fact, that he would... my team have just been beaten 4-0 at home by a non-league team, but I'm the greatest manager in the world. And then people all have a go at him and forget about the performance. I also thought that was really good, but now it's happening to my team. It's just annoying. But I wrote on Twitter, I tweeted that this is now the end game. And I can't remember which game it was. If I look back through my tweets, I'll be able to find it. But he started to blame individuals and he started to attack the team. Instead of attacking the ref or the opposition manager or the centre forward for the opposition team, he's now attacking the players. And this is the end game. And we've seen it everywhere he's been. I haven't had money for this. I haven't got that. I need this. I'm great at this still, but these players don't respond. He's lying about players even being in training.
Alderweireld last week. Yeah.
What is that about? So Toby is now sat at home thinking, this geezer is actually telling lies about me. So that's Toby gone. Toby is now not playing for that manager anymore.
I bet he might play tomorrow night, by the way, or Friday night. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. But where's his head going to be at?
Well, not in the right place.
Does he really want to play for this? Nah. Yeah.
Cool
stuff. And so now he's got an excuse not to play our best defender because his head's not in the right place. Well, who put his head in the right place? He can't coach the players. I said on Passion of Correspondence, name me a player that he has improved at my club. And we struggled to come up with one, possibly one and a half names. He can't coach the players. He doesn't know how to get out of the situation. From looking at the stats, and you read them out the other day, and I've got them in front of me, so I'll happily go over them again. But we've taken the lead 19 times. We've scored first 19 times this season. We've taken the lead 22 times out of 31 games. 22 out of 31 games. So what is it? Is it defensive? Possibly. Is it that he changes the tactics in the second half? Absolutely, he does that. He did it against United. Took off Lo Celso, brought on Sissoko. I'm not sure what all that was about. But it's fitness as well. He can't coach a tactic, and he's no good at bringing the players, bringing on their fitness. Now, that was something that massively improved underneath Poch. So what was Poch doing? Did he have a fitness coach? Was just Poch? Did he have that kind of ability to do that? I don't know, but Mourinho can't do it. The players aren't fit enough. Is it their diet? I don't know. He knows. He said he knows. But I don't know. But it's fitness. What it's relating to, I don't know. But the man, he can't improve these players. He's admitted that. He said in interviews he can't improve the players. There's no money for new players. So what does that mean? What next then? We're just going to have to go through this same cycle game after game, season after season.
Yeah, we're at end game, I think is a very good term to use in terms of it. It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter if it's in 2 weeks, 2 months. It's just a matter of time of when he gets sacked. I mean, how would you feel, Ricky, if we win against City and we win the final 7 league games and scrape top 4?
Well, it's probably... How I would feel is that we've probably just signed the right sponsorship deal with our official paint suppliers, who, for those of you that don't know, is now Dulux, because we're going to need a lot of paint to paint over them cracks. Because that's all it is, mate. That's all it's going to be is painting over the cracks. They're still going to be there. A few W's in the column and a trophy that means we qualify for the Conference League. It isn't going to fix the problems that are there.
Do you think Mourinho will be in charge of Tottenham first game of next season?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Because unless there's a break clause in the contract that I'm not aware of, it's going to cost too much money to get rid of him.
But it's going to cost a lot more in terms of the sort of players we're going to lose, isn't it, if he stays?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I don't know what's said behind closed doors. I mean, we're in the process of tying up Son's contract. Obviously, there's no guarantee he's going to sign it, but that will keep him at the club, in theory, for another 3 or 4 years. There's been some strong rumours about Harry wanting to leave if there's no Champions League football. Well, he may as well pack his fucking suitcase now because there ain't going to be. Once again, that could be paper talk. There's always talk about Harry not wanting to do this, but he's never come out and said anything, so you don't know with him.
And he won't.
There's still part of me that thinks Mourinho is such a big name that players will want to come and play for him. So maybe if we can find a bit of cash, players will look at it and think, oh, Mourinho, I'd love to play for Mourinho and Shiny Stadium and whatever.
Unbelievably,
else.
There are players, you're absolutely spot on, that do feel that, yeah.
Look, whether we like it or not, Mourinho is one of the, probably, well, let's make it right, he's one of the best managers of all time.
I don't argue that.
In terms of trophies won, and certainly one of the best of his generation. All right, we've got him probably 20 years too late, but he's still a massive name and players will want to come and play for him. What he's going to do with those players once they get to the club is another thing, though.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that with Reguilón. He's already gone. I'm regretting this. Bale was probably the same. I think we should have gone and played anywhere else this season.
Well,
Dele Alli's going to want out. I mean, Dele Alli's like a forgotten figure now, isn't he? And I know a lot of that's down to injuries and stuff that Dele's suffered and that as well, and he has regressed as a player, but not even get a look in when you're trying to get a goal late in the game. He just never uses him or nothing.
Dele was regressing. He was regressing under Poch, but he still got a game. He was still part of the squad and came on, and you know, sometimes he came on and changed things or sometimes he didn't. But under Mourinho, he's not even getting in the squad sometimes, and he's an unused sub. What's that about? I mean, we're struggling for creativity, and you've got a player like Dele who's not getting a look in. And then he brings on Bale with 5 minutes to go. A 31-year-old can't get into his stride with 5 minutes of the game remaining.
Do you think Bale should start for Tottenham?
Yeah, I do.
Or is that dependent on the opposition?
No, listen, right? We defensively, things aren't right. You saw the game on Sunday, yeah? Aurier went back to doing Aurier things. He's wandering up the pitch. He's staying up the pitch. And we've got no cover at the back. Cut our losses at Aurier. We know Doherty's not good enough. So just give the job to Jaffet. Play him at right back and just let Bale go and do Bale things. Bale doesn't need to worry about tracking back. He can't track back. He's not fit enough anymore. He hasn't got the legs anymore. So let's play a more defensive, solid back line. You've still got Reggie on the other side who can do what he does. And you just give Bale the ball and let Bale go. And that's what I would do. And if you got to play Aurier, then at least push Ndombele up the pitch a little bit and play with two holding players.
The idea that your wide forwards have to end up into fullback positions is nonsense, which leads on Saturday with a man short, leave their wide players higher, right? It's a nonsense. It's a nonsense. You've got players like Bale, Son. What do you want them ending up in fullback position? I mean, Son's work rate is phenomenal, actually. Works his dogs off defensively. And he really shouldn't be ending up in those deep positions because you want him higher. You want him... I'd look at it and go, if you've got Son, Bale and Kane all in the same team, I don't really need the productivity of goals from midfield positions. So you can play a flatter three like Højbjerg deep, which I keep screaming for, and Ndombele one side and Lo Celso the other. And then you can still have Reggie on push on from left back.
You've just got to look at the stats to see our attacking qualities. We've taken the lead in 22 games. Scoring goals is not our problem. It's maintaining leads. And that's where, you know, from Højbjerg back is the problem. And, you know, if Aurier's running up there and Reggie's running up there and Højbjerg's trying to press and getting into the final third, you've got Dier and Alderweireld or Dier and Rondon or Dier and Sanchez or, you know, whatever combination he's going to wheel out this week. And that's another problem. He chops and changes his central defenders so often, they ain't got a clue who they're playing with.
Yep.
You know, we had that solid rock for years and years of Toby and Jan, and they knew each other's game inside that. They played for club, they played for country, side by side, and they knew what was going on. I mean, Dier's looking over and you know, he's looking at Sanchez 1 week, or Sanchez is looking over at Rondon another week. And that's another massive issue. And
that's, that's Mourinho's answer, isn't it? When something goes wrong, he's point to blame, you're coming out the team.
Yeah.
And next, it's like a revolving door.
Yeah. And that's no good for players' confidence. You said what's the problem? And I'm putting the problem. I'm laying the door at fitness, but it's also this is massively psychological, because you know, a player comes in and he knows if he makes a mistake, he's out of the team, but that puts the pressure on you anyway, and so you've got to make a mistake. And there's very few players that haven't been punished by being left out of the team for one or two or three games. Very, very few.
He's got his favourites, hasn't he? He won't drop Højbjerg, and he obviously can't drop Son or Kane.
No.
Unless he wanted to give them a rest, which we'll come on to in a little bit about the possibility of that. But no, I mean, Højbjerg's had a number of bad games recently, but there probably isn't an alternative to playing that position at the moment.
The alternatives is Sissoko or Winks. And I mean, I love Sissoko, but he's very limited as a footballer.
Second touch is a tackle.
You said that the other day. And I like Winks, but I probably like him more than what I should do because he's a Tottenham boy. If he'd have been someone we transferred in, I'd be saying get rid of him. So that's, I don't see that he's ever going to be more than what he
was always
now.
Someone who was going to suffer under Mourinho, wasn't he? Because he's a footballer. He's a progressive footballer whose key attributes is ball retention. in tight areas. Yeah. Whereas Mourinho just wants it smashed into the forwards as quickly as possible. And Winks' concentration off the ball defensively, he's not really good enough to play in that position. So he was always someone who was likely to suffer, unfortunately. We go round and round in circles with this, won't we, Ricky? Is there a case, though, to... me and Ricky could whinge about this all night long. Is there a case to say, though, that a lot of the players are just shit?
Well, if you asked Mourinho 18 months ago, no, he doesn't need new players. The players he's got are good enough. So if that's going to be his excuse, other than them being 18 months older, no. And you know what? Some of the players aren't good enough. Are pretty much our whole defence, other than Reggie, are not shit.
Did you see Reggie at Newcastle? You could put him into that bracket as well, mate.
Reggie at United as well, mate. He was no shakes at the weekend. There's nothing shit about Son. There's nothing shit about Kane. Moura, he's not a world class player, but he's got a lot of quality. And Ndombele on his day is amazing. But I wouldn't say the other players are shit, but they're not top four quality. They're kind of the quality for where we are in the table.
Let me put it a different way. If Kane and Son left in the summer, and I think we should talk about it a little bit more, but if they did and there wasn't much in Cummins to supplement that, where would Tottenham finish next season? Take Son and Kane out of that team. Where do we finish?
10th, 11th, 12th.
Is that if we're lucky?
Yeah. That's assuming that someone like Moura or Lamella or Bergwijn is actually going to step up and get some of those goals that we're missing. But yeah, we're firmly mid-table or lower mid-table without them players.
The good news is if we lost Kane and Son, two of them leads we keep losing. We won't be losing them anymore because we won't get in front. Won't get in front in the first place. That's the good news. Do you think Harry will stay?
Yes, I do. But unless there's something drastic, it will be for one more season. We won't have him past the end of next season at best if something drastic doesn't happen. And part of the reason why I think he'll stay for next season is that at the minute, there's not the money in the game for anyone to stump up the cash that Levy wants.
I think that's the number one reason why I think he might end up staying.
Give it a season of fans in grounds, people putting money back in the coffers, and there'll be some bids in for him that Levy won't turn down.
I think the regular listeners will know I've said this. Kane should be looking to leave. Same applies to Sam.
Why is he here?
He loves the club like we love the club. That's why. Yeah, would you leave?
Well, no, I wouldn't leave. Of course, I wouldn't.
Do you know what? That guy would probably even make me leave.
He probably would, actually. I love the man even more for the fact that he's staying and he's putting up with his shite. Son hasn't even got that excuse because he's not exactly a Tottenham boy, is he? So, you know, why is Son putting up with it?
You also mentioned Son. It's worth saying there's obviously a lot of talk in the media about Kane, and we know this contract's on the table for Son, supposedly. Son's got 2 years left on his contract. If he doesn't sign it in the summer, Tottenham don't want another Eriksen situation on their hands. He'll go, won't he?
Yeah, he will. He's going to have to. I believe he's going to have to almost force him out the door. But what will happen is he'll wait until January and we'll get a fraction of the price. Same thing will happen again. But no, if Son doesn't sign this contract, he will probably need to go in the summer. And I think Levy will force that one as well.
What do you think of the idea? Let's say Kane and Son did go, and let's say between them they managed to get Tottenham nearly 200 million and give that money to Mourinho to reinvest and get the players that he wants. You're shaking your head. Why?
No, because what's he going to do? He's going to buy players that are going to play his same fucking boring system. He's going to ruin them. We've got some exciting players who, actually, to be fair, I'm glad that Oliver Skipp's at Norwich because he'd have ruined him by now. I want Dane Scarlett to really progress into the side. I'm glad that he's not getting any games because, you know, he'd ruin him. Mourinho has always been, for me, a money man. I know there'll be people that say, oh, he didn't have money at Porto, and that's fine. But he did at Chelsea, and he did at Madrid, And he was given money at United, even though he said he was treated like a pauper. And look at the money that he wasted at United just on centre-backs alone. You know, he signed about four centre-backs.
I.e. Lindelof for both his signings.
Yeah. And then claimed, I've had no money for centre-backs. we've got 10 at the club. So, no, I don't trust him to spend the money. I genuinely don't.
I absolutely agree with that principle idea, by the way, of not giving him any more money. I'd rather you just didn't spend it and save the money for the next year or so. It's a little bit how I feel. But talking of money, there's a lot of people, particularly some Spurs fans, will be listening again. Well, Levy doesn't give Mourinho the money. There's a lot of people be saying, well, we wanted Ruben Dias. Listen, Ruben Dias was never going to choose Tottenham over Manchester City, so get your head out of the clouds and stuff, right? But there's a lot will say, and have obviously been saying for 10 plus years, that Daniel Levy's tight, won't give his managers the money to spend. What do you have to say to that?
As you know, and as I've said on this pod a number of times, I'm a big Daniel Levy fan. But I'm finding it harder and harder to justify what he is not doing at Tottenham, which is giving managers money. It's almost, he goes, he's always got an excuse not to spend money. You know, obviously the early part of his reign, we weren't generating the income we are now. Then when we started building the stadium, or the stadium was in the offing, well, we need to save money for the stadium. He didn't give certain managers money because he knew they were on, like Redknapp, when that whole England thing happened, it was obvious that the man was going to go in that summer or that January. I think we signed Louis Sahara and Ryan Nelson and things like that,
yeah.
Transfers. No money then, when we could have pushed for top four, no money. And there's always been an excuse, and so then the stadium did come along and we've got to, and now it's COVID and we've had to borrow money from the bank. There's always an excuse for not giving money. And there'll be no money in the summer if Mourinho stays, because he won't want to be seen to back a manager that the majority of the fan base don't want to be there. But then when a new man comes in, like he had Poch, didn't give him any, I don't know why he didn't give him any money. That was kind of unforgivable. Poch said, you know, we need to refresh the squad. Don't want to change it, just refresh it. A couple of additions here, you know, mix things up there. And he didn't do it. And that was when I started to lose excuses for the not spending the money. Daniel Levy is a football fan, and I know that he loves my club as much as I do. He was on the same terraces that you and me stood on, James, and I know that. But he's not a football man. He's a businessman. And the best thing for Tottenham is that if he leaves the club...
Him personally or Enic? So Enic are the controlling body of Tottenham, basically, who employ Daniel Levy. Is it a case of just changing the chairman? Well, or is it a case of changing the ownership? Because one of the things I keep saying to people who are like, oh, Enic have got to go and stuff, who do you want to buy the football club? The club's been valued this week at £2.3 billion. Who's got that sort of money?
Nobody.
When you could buy Newcastle for like 15% of that price, for example.
Yeah.
Why would you? Or West Ham for under half the price, for example.
You're talking first of all, Enic or Levy. I'm going to say Enic, but purely because I don't know how much influence Joe Louis has on what Levy is able to do at Tottenham. Obviously, Enic is Louis and Joe Levy's company, for those that don't know. Joe Louis is a man who's much, much richer than Daniel Levy, and he controls kind of the company purse strings, and that's Enic's company purse strings. Whether he says to Levy, you've got this amount to spend and that's it, or whether Levy has got free reign over Tottenham, I'm not entirely sure, if I'm being honest. So maybe it's a case of Enic go and Levy stays, or, you know, Levy gets a majority of Enic and then we can see some spending. I genuinely don't know. Who buys Tottenham? Well, who's got that kind of money, James? You're talking a company like Amazon.
Yes, that's exactly what I've said.
You know, you're talking a very, very wealthy Qatari or Emirati sheikh, or, you know, Saudi royal family.
Why would you?
What? Yeah, exactly.
Why would you spend a £2.3 billion just to get the club?
You know, what would a Burnley sell for? £200 million?
Yeah,
Newcastle like are up for sale for about £350 million. They're getting the same TV money that we're getting, you know, minus probably about 10 or 15 million a season when you take into account the extra games. We're not getting into Europe, so there's no money there. So why would you do that? What, you know, you, all right, the stadium, but at least with someone like Burnley, you can knock down the ground, build somewhere else, and sell that for land. You can't do that with Tottenham. That stadium, as much of an asset, it's almost a blocker as well, because you've got to buy something that's absolutely brand spanking new. It's not like you can buy it and, oh, I need to do it up and I'll knock off a few quid because that's falling down. It's cost £1 billion, and it's going to cost you £1 billion to buy it from me as well. Who buy it? I don't know. Who's going to want to buy us? The price is prohibitive. Would you want to buy a used car or a house from Daniel Levy? You know you're not getting any money off.
I'd be a bit concerned there was something wrong with it, to be honest. Yeah. I'd definitely want to put the car through the medical first.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I'm almost tempted. Well, I am tempted to say stick with Levy because it's better the devil, you know. I do know that in Daniel Levy's hands, my club is safe. It's not going to go bankrupt. It's not going to be sold off for this. It's not going to be broken up. It is safe. And for as long as I'm alive and Daniel Levy's in charge, there'll always be a Tottenham. I'm fully, fully confident of that. But I'm always going to have to be putting up with managers, good managers coming in. And I don't quite qualify Mourinho as I'm talking about Poch. Good managers coming in and not being treated in the way that they should be.
I still have a belief that Poch turned down a lot of signings. I have to say that.
Yeah, he said that himself.
And it's worth saying, because Poch was so strict on the type of player that came in. Like, if he didn't think their personality fit or something, he'd just go, nope. And they'd go, well, he's a great player. He can play. Nope. I don't think his personality fit. He was very judgmental like that, Pochettino. Isn't one of Levy's greatest failings, though, and this is my one concern about life after Mourinho, isn't one of the concerns with Levy is that his managerial appointments are often shit, and some of the names getting linked with potentially being approached for the job aren't inspiring me with any confidence, mate.
All the managers that Levy's had, Redknapp was a success, but I don't, that for me was more by luck than judgment.
Was a stopgap, let's be honest, because we were going to get relegated.
He was a stopgap, and the success that he had was, for me, luck. I don't put that down to Redknapp's managerial ability, because he didn't do it anywhere else. You know, he was very fortunate to have some good players, and then this phenomenon that Gareth Bale just emerged and dragged that team kicking and screaming into Europe.
And
that
inherited wasn't Redknapp's doing. Like Modric and Defoe and Ledley King. And, Jesus. You know, there were some good players there.
There were some massively good players there. Pochettino, yeah, great, but I don't really think anybody realised how good Poch was at first. So I certainly didn't. And there was nothing in his managerial background to suggest it was going to be any good. So you take out them two, and he's just appointed dross. It's just lots and lots of dross. And all right, you think, oh, he's got it right with Mourinho, but he's thrown a lot of money at a man that everybody was saying is done. And I think that was quite evident at United, that his philosophy wasn't working. And he got lucky with a second place finish in the league that they didn't deserve. And he won some cups. But look at the players he had there and the money he was given. He was never going to get that money at Tottenham. So, yeah, if when Mourinho goes, you know, we're talking about Nagelsmann, we're talking about Brendan Rodgers, and I think that's more us because I haven't heard that mentioned in the press at all. All these names are being thrown out, but you know it's going to be fucking Gareth Ainsworth or somebody.
I'll take Gareth Ainsworth over Mourinho, yes. With apologies to the Wycombe Wanderers fans out there.
I would as well. But yeah, it's going to be someone like Eddie Howe. Or, you know,
do you
it's
really
going to be
believe that?
Yeah, I do. Because
wow. So then, what's the point? Because that's what people be saying. You might as well stick with Mourinho then.
Yeah, we may as well. But Levy obviously watches every game like we do. He can't be happy sitting there watching that. He must think, you know, I just want a bit of excitement again. So he's probably got to change just to so he doesn't top himself. But, yeah, what...
He'll be... I think, raging about the depreciation of some of his assets.
Oh, Ali, yes.
Winks, Dyer, these are all players at various points over the last couple of years could have left Tottenham for some... I mean, Mourinho wanted to buy Dyer for Manchester United, is fairly well documented, for example. Man City were reportedly looking at Harry Winks last summer.
Yeah.
So there's been opportunities to sell these players for big money. And actually, that's been a criticism in the past, selling players for big money. And let's be honest, since Bale went, no one has. Now, maybe that's because we've largely had average players. But I guess Eriksen went because it was forced into a corner. But otherwise, big players haven't left, actually. And in that case, in Eriksen's case, it wasn't a case of taking the big money. It was a case of, well, we've got to take some money. And
we've got to take some money
anymore, yeah.
And I mentioned this on the last Clash of the Correspondents. We're not a selling club, and we haven't been for a long, long time. And the only big-name player that we've sold... fairly recently, is Gareth Bale. That was for a world record fee. Modric, that's I think we actually got a bit done over on Modric, but he was always going to be a player that we wouldn't be able to keep hold of. He was that good.
Oh, make no mistake, Luka Modric, if he's still there next year, is going into his 10th season with Real Madrid, which tells you how good he is.
Yeah, there you go, even at his age. But the reason why I said Eddie Howe is one thing that all of Levy's managers have got in common, apart from being mostly shit, is that all of them have come in, other than Mourinho, with no profile or very little profile. They're managers that either are building a name and building a reputation but haven't really achieved much yet, or they're just not well-known names at all. And the thing that means they've got in common is they don't expect a lot of money. And even when Mourinho come in, who you would think is someone that expects a lot of money, the first thing he said is, these are great players, I don't need to buy anybody. He had that expectation, or at least it came across that he did, that I don't need, or I'm not going to spend any money on this squad. And so, you know, you get someone like Brendan Rodgers, who's used to spending a few quid at Leicester City, or Nagelsmann, who's used to spending a few quid in Germany. They're not going to want to come to our club and be told, you've got no money to spend, or you need to sell before you can buy. So that's what I don't want Eddie Howe, but he's going to be the kind of manager. Look, your last gig was at Bournemouth. You got relegated. You've been sacked. What you're going to do? You're going to come to Tottenham. I'm going to bring you to Tottenham, but you need to work with this little tiny budget and with these players that you've got that are better than any players you've ever worked with in your career. That's going to be the kind of manager.
The other flip of that, I know what you're saying about in terms of maybe not having the money. But I think there is the attraction of Kane and Son were going to stay, for example, for someone like a Brendan Rodgers, you come to work in the stadium. This is what I keep saying about Rodgers as well. Tottenham will double his salary. And for a normal human being, listen, we all want to work and earn more money. If someone's offering double your money, go and work in London, go and work in that stadium, etc. That's going to appeal. That's always my argument. I think the problem with Rodgers might be he probably won't be cheap to get hold of from Leicester, and it's going to cost a bomb to obviously knock off Mourinho, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the problem. I wonder if, would you think of someone like Graham Potter at Brighton?
Well, at least I'd see some attacking football.
This is exactly what I've been saying this week, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I followed Potter's career closely, but I'm aware of what he's done in Europe before he came to Brighton, and it's good. You know, he's got a history of taking small or provincial clubs and turning them into something that's good. It's got really, really good records of working with players that maybe aren't as good as players at other clubs. I'd take Potter. I'd take Potter in a heartbeat. I think he's a really good manager. And you know, when you said about Brendan Rodgers coming to work, you know, an attraction of working with Kane and Son, we've got a really small window now, James, and you've said it repeatedly, we're wasting time. If we get to the stage where Harry Kane and Son have stated their intention to leave, or Son doesn't sign a contract, what hook have we got to bring in a quality manager? What you can come in, what work with Eric Dier and work with Serge Aurier? If we don't get this right and get rid of Mourinho before those players make it clear they want to leave, we're not going to have them, and that's not going to be a hook. And also, if we didn't get rid of Mourinho, these players may turn around and say, well, I'm off anyway.
What do you want from Tottenham?
I just want to be entertained again.
All I want for me is to look forward to games. I don't even do that anymore. It's like, oh, Tottenham playing at 8 o'clock tonight. Great, brilliant. I want to look forward to games and I want to feel like I can support them during games and get behind them. And obviously, listen, not being at the stadium is obviously a massive hindrance to that anyway, where I think, and it's not just Tottenham fans, so many football fans obviously feel disconnected from their football clubs at the moment. But I don't even look forward to the games. I've said this several times, like the game finishes, I turn it off, go and do something else. It's like it's almost like a chore, and it's meant to be the highlight of my week.
Yeah, it's
watching them play. And I know they're not going to win every game, and I don't expect them to win every game, but I expect them to try.
James, I've been a Tottenham fan now for I'm 44, and I came into football. I was probably about 8 years old when I first started taking notice of football, which is later than some. So I've been a Tottenham fan all of that time. So, you know, we're talking a long time now. And in that time, I've seen us win, what, 2-3 trophies? You know, I don't want a trophy every year. I don't want to be qualified for the Champions League. Well, so I don't want it. I don't expect it. All I want is to be able to look forward to a game, like you said. You know, you work hard all week. Saturday is football. Yeah, come on, let's get to Saturday. Let's go and watch Tottenham. You know, let's get down the lane and have a couple of points. I want that again. I want to feel excited about the weekend. What I want to do, and I don't know what it's like for you, half the time when we score, I don't even cheer because I know what's coming.
It's the worst. Do you know what? It's the worst feeling for us because we know it's the end of the game.
Yeah, that's it. We've done what we're going to do. We've shot our bolt. And now I've got to sit back and watch us defend badly against...
That sentence could have finished very differently.
But that's it. I can't even... I mean, James, there's nothing like being in the ground and just losing yourself in a moment of a goal. There's limbs. There's, you know, you've just... For that few seconds, nothing else in the world matters because your team has scored. And I don't have that. And part of it's not being in the ground, I know, and we can't help that. But part of it is the fact that I know what's coming. And I can't get excited about watching us just sit back and have our pants pulled down. And you know what? We've had our pants pulled down by some proper mediocre teams as well after we've gone ahead. It's not even the big boys. It's mediocre players that have pulled us down. And I can't get excited by that. And I just want to feel excited by a game, by a lead, by an occasion.
I'm going to ask you a question, which I think is possibly going to... You're getting waved at in the background.
Yeah, looking. I know. I'll lock her in the cupboard later.
That's going to come out on the audio good.
That's right, because if she does that again, she won't get fed. That one's for you, Wally.
I feel like waving back now, bless. I'm going to ask a question, which for the Spurs listeners is quite dark. The Pochettino period, was that and is that the best it's ever going to be?
I'm going to try and summon up the last bit of hope that I have left in me and say no. But I fear, look, if we don't act very soon, and what, like I said earlier, get rid of Mourinho, so we can get in another decent manager to and say, look, you can work with Son, you can work with Kane. You've still got Dele Alli, that's, you know, the man's fresh. If we don't act soon, then yes, that's probably as good as it's going to be. Because once those players go, what have we got left to build on? What manager is going to come in?
Interestingly,
and work?
When Pochettino came in the door, there was so much shit at that football club. Probably bar Eriksen. It was crap. All the good players had gone, mate. So he had to start again. Someone else can do that, surely. Players come and go. I've been through this in, say, Kane and Son go this summer. I've been through that in 2008, ironically, after we last won a League Cup, when Berbatov and Keane left and the team got stripped away again. And then, ironically, 2 years later, we did qualify for the Champions League. So it will be the start of the cycle. It might be the painful rebuild that Pochettino was talking about is possibly needed, that everybody goes and you start from the bottom and just start again.
Yeah, do you know what? Someone can come in. Is he going to find another Pochettino? Or is it going to be a Christian Gross or a Jerry Francis? And I know these weren't all Levy appointments, but this is the kind of managers. You know, we haven't had that
many. We've had some shit, and Mourinho's right near the top of them, by the way.
Mourinho is right at the top. Maybe I'm doing Levy a disservice, and he really saw something in Poch that he thought this man is going to be great, or maybe he just got a little bit lucky. I don't know. Judging by the rest of his managerial appointments, I'm erring towards he got lucky. Is he going to get that lucky again? I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know.
If he gets the next one wrong, Levy, he's in massive trouble. It will turn like the Newcastle atmosphere that we get kind of with Ashley. It will turn really, really bad. So it's big.
Well, Levy is lucky and Mourinho is bang lucky that there are no fans in the ground, because that would be pretty toxic already, mate. We ain't sitting through that shit, game in, game out, and keeping quiet. And to be fair, actually, I reckon that Mourinho has probably still got a job due to there being no fans, because Levy couldn't sit there game after game hearing the response Mourinho's getting and keep the man in work.
Do you think we play different? Do you think we play differently on that basis if there were fans in the ground?
Some of the players would. Whether the system would change, whether Mourinho would allow it to change, I don't know. Some of the players would certainly be spurred on by the cheers of the fans. Absolutely. And then you'd get some of the players who are already, in my opinion, suffering from some sort of psychological problems with the way we're dropping leads, and they'd make even more mistakes. So it could work for us, it could work against us. You might see more mistakes if there were fans in there, because there's going to be... Tottenham fans don't generally boo. We've never really booed our own players. But
I've seen it. I've
seen it too, but it's not something you associate with us. But you're going to hear, because the ground produces a lot of clear noise as well. So when there is a lull in the game and we're not really talking, someone shouts, that's reverberating around the stadium, and players aren't going to hear that.
Imagine if there was a guy who had a ticket for a stadium that held 90,000 people and there was only going to be 2,000 in there. Imagine that. By the way, can I clarify that until that final is absolutely lost, no, there won't be a bad word comes out of my mouth. But if anybody from Tottenham's listening now, because I know you haven't allocated where the seats are, I suggest you put me a long way from that fucking dugout.
I'm not going to repeat what you said on the pod the other day in case you have a change of heart.
Don't repeat what I said on the Patreon pod, mate, please.
But you know what, to be fair though, James, jokes aside, you're not going to be the only person out of 2,000 that's thinking that way. And someone is going to say something. It's guaranteed, mate. You're right over there.
That's me getting COVID before the final, wasn't it? Oh, went down the wrong hole. Excuse me. I think we've moaned enough, Ricky.
I feel thoroughly depressed now. Sorry, I mate. Like this is kind of like my therapy session, but it's actually made me feel 10 times worse. I've addressed the problem, but it's still here.
All we want is a team to support and be proud of. That's it.
Yeah.
That's generally all we want.
James, for the last 5 years, you meet someone in a pub or you're talking to somebody, who are you? I'm Tottenham. And I'm proud because I'm Tottenham. And now it's, I'm Tottenham. Oh, you sure? It's soul destroyed. Make me proud of my club again. Make me get excited by looking at a team sheet and make me cheer a goal knowing that we've got half a chance of keeping the lead. That's all I want. I don't want European Cups and Premier Leagues. Just give me a bit of excitement.
The sad bit as well is, although Tottenham have a lot of poor players at the moment, we have some incredibly good attacking players.
Yeah. And that is what is kept Reno in a job, is those attacking players. Without Son and Kane, and you know what, Moura,
it's been decent last couple of months, off. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you're not a big fan of his, but
I like Lucas.
Lamella Lucas
give me better night in my life than any woman ever has, I can promise you, mate. So I'll always love that man, honestly. Let's talking of that, because I think Lucas Moura is an interesting possible place to start. Let's do a little bit of FPL before we finish, Ricky, because apologies for the fancy guys. God, these two go on. Yeah, we know it. And what? Let's do a little bit of fantasy. Which Tottenham players have you got ahead of the double, Rick?
Son and Kane.
Are you adding a third?
No.
Why?
Or
have we just answered that the last 45 minutes?
Yeah. No, I was speaking to one of my mates. This geezer, he's about 23,000 in the world, and he keeps asking me for advice. But have you seen my rank? What are you asking me for? But he said the same question about three players. And I said, look, the only one really, I said, maybe go Lloris, but We're not going to keep any clean sheets. I said, the only one other I'd consider is Moura. Will he be getting him? No, I won't be. And I'll give you the same reason I gave him. In my midfield, I've got Jota, Salah, Lingard, Son, and Madison. Who am I taking out for Moura, who he's probably hasn't scored a goal in a long time. He might get an assist, and but he's not guaranteed to play two games anyway. So am I dropping Lingard for Moura? No, because all of those players can score more points in one game than Moura possibly will do in two. And that's not a slight on Moura. That's just the way that we play. You know that we're going to score one goal, possibly two, and that's it. We're not going to attack again. So why would I transfer one of those out to get him?
All right, different question then.
Yes.
If you were free hitting this week, you would definitely go free Spurs players. Is that fair?
Yeah, free here. Yeah.
Let's be honest, the two games, Everton away, and we've got confirmation our Dominic Calvert-Lewin's out of the game on Friday night as well, and Southampton were dog awful at West Brom on Monday night. So the two games, in all seriousness, are very winnable. If you were on a free hit, you'd go free. Kane and Son, who would be the third?
If I was on a free hit, it would be Lloris.
So not Moura, you'd go Lloris over Moura?
I'd go Lloris, yeah.
Because?
Because Calvert-Lewin, as I say, is out. I know that Lloris is going to play 100%. I don't know for definite that Moura is. He's started a lot of games recently, but Moura's probably going to come off at about 60, 70 minutes anyway, so you're not even going to get 90 out of him. We will score in both those games, but then we possibly won't attack again. You know, we'll get one, maybe two at the absolute most, and then we're done. So, and it's not a slot of Moura because I do love them.
No, I like him as a player. I just think he's someone who, when people say, oh, is Moura worth a punt? My argument
would be,
he's worth
a punt, yeah.
I think if you're not in a position of midfields, and it's similar for myself as well, like there's no one I'd be mad to get rid of any of the five I've got. For example, I mean, I've got Reguilón anyway, who's the other player I want to speak to you about. As a punt, yeah, but you're going to, as I said to someone earlier this week, you're going to want to get rid of him as quickly as you get him.
Yeah,
with the blank afters. And admittedly, if you're very happy with the rest of your 13, 14 players and you want to get him for a week and you know you're selling him because then Tottenham blank in 33, great. But then if you look further ahead and you look at Sheffield United at home in 34, you're going to be very tempted to keep. And that's part of the problem as well here, Ricky, isn't it? It's not just the fact we've got a double and a blank. It's after the blank, we've got Sheffield United at home. And actually, as much as we've criticised the team, all the fixtures we've got left are very winnable.
Yeah, they are. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I would be surprised, but it's not inconceivable that we can win our last seven games. It's not inconceivable at all. They're all very winnable games.
We won't. Also, Ricky knows that.
No, of course we won't. Of course we won't. But another reason why I say Lloris is, all right, the vast majority of in-tuned managers have already got two Tottenham. You've probably still got a City lurking around as well. So there's your three bench players for 33. If you've got Moura, you've now got 10 in your squad. If you've got Lloris, that's a fourth bench player, and if you've got a decent goalkeeper, they can play. If I was to get Moura, I'm going to want to ship him out straight away pretty much just so I can field 11 players. It's not something I'm looking to do, if I'm being honest.
Okay. So still Lloris if you were free-hitting as the third Tottenham?
If I was free-hitting, it'd be Lloris. I'm not free-hitting, so I'll stick with the two that I've got.
Why him over Reggie?
Reggie's been quite poor in a few games. Not every game, but you know, he was poor against Newcastle. I thought he was poor against United. I know that Newcastle are fighting for their lives, and United, you know, they are a good team. But Everton, they're still trying to get something out of this season that's showed so much promise. You know, it's frittering away, so they still want to get something. Southampton, I can't really say a lot positive about them at the moment, if I'm being honest.
Bad run, aren't they?
They're not looking good. It's a good job they've got the points they've got at the start of the season, because they might be banging trouble if they hadn't. Reggie, once again, he's probably guaranteed to start, because I don't think Davis is ready to come back yet. So he's kind of in that position. He's safe where he is. But I don't like the way he's been playing the last few games. And to be fair, what's the point in an attacking fullback if during the second half of the game he's not going to be doing any attacking because he's camped in his own half? You get from his attribute, you know, he's not going to get a clean sheet. You pretty much know that. And from his attributes, you only generally get 45 minutes of the best of him, because the second half, well, we've seen it so many times.
Thinking about, obviously, assisted for Bale against Brighton earlier in the season, was second half. He's got 4 assists. They're all at Wyatt Lane this year. And also note as well, he hasn't got any bonus points when he hasn't got an attacking return. So if it's just going to be a flat 6 and a 2 with no attacking returns, that's probably what you're getting, is the 8 points, yeah, if there's one clean, yeah, sheet. He's not a player who's likely to get you the 8 or 9-pointer,
no,
without the attacking return.
And I mean, I know I haven't spoken very highly of Reggie in the last few minutes, but out of all the players that I would dearly love to own, it's him, because of what he can do. I want him to be a player that I want to own so much. He's so exciting. He's bombing forward. He looks great, and I really want to own him so much, or want to own the player I know he can be. So much, but at the minute, just a mixture of us defensively and us going forward, we generally do that for 45 minutes. It's just, it's not for me. But if you've got him, I hope it pays off.
Well, I have Ricky, so
yeah,
I've got,
so I hope it pays off. I hope it pays off. Who else have you got, incidentally, James?
So I've got Reggie, Son, and Kane.
Have you got any City?
I've got Diaz as well.
So what are you doing then for the blank when you've got 10 players?
This is why I'm in full agreement with you that I think when people say best third, the best answer ideally is to go with Lloris. But that's not something that's going to be possible for everybody. Purely on value, if you're sitting there with 2-4.5 million keepers, there's no guarantee you're going to be able to get up to that point money-wise. What I'm planning to do with 33 is probably sell Ruben Diaz. Is probably my thinking, particularly now City have obviously gone through in the Champions League. There's obvious risk that he might not play in the league games anyway. So I'm probably going to lose Diaz, which I'm a bit loath to do because they've got a great fixture in 34 away to Palace as well. And I would never bench a Manchester City defender as far as I'm concerned, but it probably will be him because just look at Tottenham after Sheffield United at home. I'm going to want to keep for at least that one more, or depending on what the shape of my squad is, Ricky, I haven't ruled out the idea of just going with 10 in 33. And I think that's a serious possibility for me, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could, if you're going to carry that transfer over, you'll have 2 for the 34.
But I think if I do that and then Diaz doesn't play in 34, I'd be a bit sick. So I think I'll probably sell him. Or if Davis is obviously back fit, and it's worth saying at the moment, at time recording, we know Doherty and Davis are out of the Everton game. There's been no timeline put on either player, though, in terms of when they'll return. But say if Davis was back for the Carabao Cup final, that would probably be enough to spook me into selling Reggie on next week, I think.
Yeah, I was kind of planning on selling Son in the blank. And not because I need to. Because I will have, you know, barring injuries, I will have 11 players. But I thought, you know, with so much choice in midfield, it would be a good idea maybe to bring somebody else in. But then I'm thinking, as you said, Diaz, well, City through, is Diaz going to play? So do I keep him? Do I sell him? I haven't got a clue, mate. But yeah, for if I was in your situation, Reggie's the obvious one to go. Because there's a lot of choice in defence as well. I mean, cheap players that are playing or other players that are coming into good fixtures.
It's also not something I'm worried about because it'll be a last-minute decision ahead of deadline next week, because with how long the game week is, I could lose a player through injury next Thursday night, for example. I've got 3 Leicester players, for example. So I'll be leaving decision on 33 till very, very late. That's for certain. I'm going to ask you, Ricky, to predict the lineup for the Everton game. Lloris in goal.
What I want it to be or what I think it will be.
There's no point just us getting upset with what we want it to be. What team do you think the Pratt in charge will pick?
He will probably drop Dyer as some kind of punishment. Yeah, for some kind of punishment for the United. There's got to be a scapegoat, hasn't there? Right now, we know the scapegoat isn't going to be Lloris. It can't be Reguilón because we haven't got another left back.
He could play Tanganga at left back, in theory.
He could play Tanganga at right back. because Aurier was shocking as well.
There's a change from the norm.
Yeah, that mate, I didn't see that one coming.
The only time Aurier has done well this season is when he ain't been playing, because every time I watch Doherty, Aurier gets better in my mind. Anyway, carry on.
I think Toby ain't going to play, as that relationship is done.
So you think probably Rodon and Sanchez again?
No, I think he's got an excuse to drop Dyer, but I don't think he's got a particularly good relationship with Sanchez either. So I'm going to say Rodon and Dyer, Aurier and Reggie. It will stick with Hjoiberg because, I mean, that man could shit on his desk and he'll still play him. He loves him. And, you know, look, he's done all right, to be fair. That's I'm a little bit worried about Lo Celso starting. I know he's still coming back to fitness, but he hooked him early when he was doing all right, to be fair. So if that's a fitness thing or an injury tweak, I don't know. But Moura, Son, Kane and Ndombele, I'll say Lo Celso. I'm assuming there's nothing wrong. Hjoiberg and pretty much the same side, really.
I was going to say the same shit that last
year. Yeah, actually, I've just quit the same side, haven't I? Yeah.
Okay. The centre-backs, just to group all four of them together, Alderweireld, Sanchez, Dyer, Rodon, you're mad to buy one of them. Would that be fair advice, basically? Just purely because we genuinely, and I want to speak for you on this, Ricky, I have no clue what pairing he's going to pick at centre-back. And I don't even think he, half the time, he knows what he's going to do. So to gamble that you get the two games out of one of them, it's not worth it. Do you think Aurier will play twice?
Possibly. Well, it depends how he wants to play against City. If he wants to play a more defensive side against City, then Aurier probably will play twice. Because what I want him to do, and what he probably should do, is play Jaffet against City. So it depends on how he wants to go into that game, though. Aurier probably will play twice because the man's so devoid of ideas, he won't have any other game plan. It will just play the one fit available right back that he's got. I don't want him to. I don't want Aurier to play at all. I want Jaffet to play, even though he's not a true right back. He does so much better in that position. And do you know what? If we play Jaffet, what we could do as well, and I'm getting excited about thinking about it, play Bale and just let Bale go, knowing you've got that defensive cover.
Spoken about this, yeah.
Yeah, just
ideally, that's probably best for Bale. It's just no Tanganga positionally. All right, limited footballer. He's still learning, but he'll stay there for Gareth. And Jaffet's job is just give Gareth the ball and support. And if we want to get overloads, it's got to be on the other side of the pitch. Simple as that.
Yeah. But I think, just go back to your question, I think Mourinho, he will do things so that he's got an excuse not for doing something else. And if he plays Jaffet, he's got no excuse then not to play Bale. So he probably won't want to play Jaffet so that he doesn't have to play Bale. Because he said, I couldn't play Gareth because he doesn't go back. And, you know, and I want Aurier going forward. And, you know, he spites himself into doing something so he doesn't have to do something else.
What would you say to FPL managers who are still sitting there with Bale?
Get rid.
Is there any point in keeping?
No, none whatsoever.
Do you not think that there's a possibility he'll play against Southampton, for example? And I've seen one journalist, by the way, predict today that Bale will start at Everton.
He won't start at Everton because...
I just think he'll play against Luca Dean, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, the relationship between Mourinho and Bale is done. I think it's done on both sides. While there's still a faint hope of getting something out of the season in the league, he won't play Gareth Bale. He might play him if we lose and then the league season is done, because he'll want to keep whoever he is going to play in the final fresh. So he doesn't play. He probably doesn't get any minutes against Everton, full stop, but he may well get something at Southampton depending on the Everton game. So there is a case for saying keep Bale for one more game, because he may start getting some game time if we lose against Everton. But that's a very if situation.
With that in mind, and you saying potentially holding players back for the final, any concern about Kane or Son not starting against Southampton?
No. he's under that much pressure. He's got to play. But certainly if we win against Everton, everybody that should start against City will start against Southampton. Everybody. If we lose, then there is a potential you could see them dropped. But I think he's under enough pressure as it is without throwing games where we've already said what kind of team we are without them two up top. He's almost giving away 3 points if he doesn't play Son and Kane.
How many points do you expect Tottenham to get in these two games?
I'm going to say 4. We could quite easily get 6. I think it'll be a draw against Everton, and I think we'll beat Southampton.
Clean sheets?
No. Well, do you... See, this is the thing. I bloody hate it so much. Because I can see 2 clean sheets. I really can.
Can you? But, Ricky, I thought you watched all our games.
Yeah, I mean, well, Everton without Calvert-Lewin and Southampton as they're playing. There's right. 2 clean sheets there. But we'll do something. Eric Dier, you know what? In so many areas, he's an 8 or a 9 player. You know, puts an 8 or 9, but then he'll let himself down with one moment of madness. Aurier, if he's on the pitch, you don't know. You cannot trust him to do anything correctly. So, no, in reality, there is no clean sheets. We will concede in both games when we should be keeping clean sheets.
I want to give everyone a 1 week punt.
Go on then.
Calvert-Lewin's out. Richarlison scoring is an absolute certainty.
That's all right, because I've got him in my draft team. So I'll take that.
Oh, brilliant. Ricky, absolute pleasure. Thanks for giving up your time for us.
Mate, no, it's a pleasure of mine as well.
Remember, we'll still be there when they're all gone. The manager, the chairman, the players. The fans will still be going, right?
Yeah.
The football club will go in cycles and it will get better. We're just in a bit of pain at the moment because there is no thrill to supporting our football club for us. Pleasure, my friend.
Thanks a lot, James. Take care of yourself, mate.
You're very welcome. You can give Ricky a follow on Twitter and you really should do. Top fella at RickySaunders77 on Twitter. I'll be back on YouTube 5:30 p.m. today with the deadline string, waiting for people to ask all the Tottenham questions that I've just answered with Ricky in this particular podcast. But I look forward to it anyway. 2 featured podcasts from me and Suj next week on Monday, reviewing the weekend action, and then on Friday, reviewing all the midweek action as well. Next week's Clash of Correspondents, Leeds versus Manchester United, with FPL tactician Is My Cat Playing. And what else have we got next week, Ricky? We've got Sky on Wednesday. Probably have a People's Poll podcast, People's I imagine, for Tuesday. Yeah.
And ask obviously, James. Don't forget Ask James.
I'm not going to have time for that next week. That's a shame. I'll have to do it exclusively for the patrons again next week. And we do have podcasts available Monday to Friday at intermediate tier on Patreon as well. If you want to join the FPL Planet FPL community, please do it because you're supporting the content and not because you've become a better FPL manager. As you can tell from this podcast, we prefer just to talk about football than FPL, to be very honest. I wish you all a very good weekend, everyone. Can you Spurs?
Come on, Tottenham.
Cue music, please, man-child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.